William Wallace, the real Braveheart. Many say that the name Wallace comes from Wales. It does not. It comes from the word used to describe the natives of the region of Strathclyde. The three basic peoples of the region at the time were Scotus, Glawinisbus, and Wallenisbus. Thus, Wallace probably dates back to the Picts. There's been a constant battle, albeit quite friendly, between historians and the makers of the movie Braveheart. Is the movie historically correct? No, it is not. But then again, neither was Titanic, Lord of the Rings, or Harry Potter. But they're all great movies and provided a lot of entertainment, as do all of Mr. Gibson's movies. The movie Braveheart was perfect. It had a goodie and a baddie, love, treachery, bloodletting, and yes, even a bit of historical fact in it, and tons of great scenery and marvelous actors. While I admit loving Mr. Patrick McGugan in the old program The Prisoner, Lord, I hated him as King Edward. A great performance by a great actor. Some stories are just good, and both the movie Braveheart and the true story of Sir William Wallace is one of those. Just a great story. Our mission is to tell you the true story, or at least as much as we know about the real William Wallace, and to clear up some of the history of the great man. The real William Wallace was born in 1270, probably near Eldersley in Ayrshire, Scotland. His father was Sir Malcolm Wallace, Laird of Eldersley, not a farmer but a minor knight, and he was not hung in a barn or a shed, but more on that later. His mother is known to have been the daughter of Sir Hugh Crawford, Sheriff of Ayr, his elder brother, Malcolm. In those days, it was Malcolm, the eldest son, who would inherit the title, castles, and power, and it is most likely young William was being educated to join either the priesthood or to serve in the king's army. King Edward I Plantagenet, also known as Longshanks, also known as Hammer of the Scots, came to the throne of England in 1272, 2 years after William Wallace was born. The name Longshanks came because King Edward stood 6 foot tall and was a bit on the thin side. William and Malcolm likely spent their childhood at Dunpace, near Stirling, under the tutelage of their uncle, who was a priest and would later become the Bishop of Glasgow. They would have been given a classical education in languages such as Greek, Latin, Anglo, also called Norman French, and Lowland, a form of English spoken in southern Scotland. Whether or not Sir William spoke the Gaelic or not is still a controversy for the historians to argue out. He and his brother Malcolm were also trained in the martial arts, as was normal for children of their stations, including horsemanship, swordsmanship, and the bow. William is said to have been a great bowman. Young William would have been taught the law with emphasis on church and state. William was a big, strong, athletic man of 6'7". The average height at the time was about 5 feet. William had curly auburn hair and bright, intelligent eyes, with full lips and a roundish face. It is said that a man could only keep up to a running Wallace if he, the man, rode on a horse. William Wallace's father was killed in a skirmish with England troops at Loudon Hill in 1291. Edward invaded Scotland in 1272. Following his victory, declared himself ruler of Scotland. He also had the Stone of Destiny, the ancient coronation stone of Scone taken south to Westminster. More on the stone later. Over 2,000 Scottish nobles and leaders signed what's called the Ragman's Roll, giving fealty or pledging allegiance to King Edward. Neither Wallace nor Andrew de Moray, who before joining with William Wallace had fought the English in the Highlands around Inverness after his father was killed by the English, neither of these two gentlemen gave their pledge to an English king, ever. Hugh Cressingham, the Earl of Surrey, became governor and hated tax collector of Scotland. Not that he's able to collect much taxes. William killed several English soldiers in Ayr and was thrown into a dungeon where he was slowly starved. William either escaped or was left for dead when the locals nursed him back to health. On July 1296, William and about 30 men avenged his father's death by killing the knight who killed his father and some of his soldiers on Loudon Hill, where his father had been murdered. This made William an outlaw, so he hid in the local forest at Colburn. While it is doubtful Sir William ever met the French princess who married Edward II, Longshanks' son, but it is from this raid that he met the 18-year-old Marion Broadfoot, daughter of the Laird of Lamington, also not the poor farmer's daughter as the movie showed. But then again, both were beautiful young lassies. Young Marion told young William how the cruel Sheriff Hasselrig had put Marion's brother to death. Marion was described by Blind Harry as humble, beautiful, quiet, harmless, well-spoken, courteous, and noble of deed. Although William fell in love with her at first sight, he felt that, for her safety, since he was an outlaw, they should not be married by the church. But it is known that Marion bore him a daughter that grew up to be a woman Marion of children of her own, so they were more than just friends. William wanted to wait until the English were gone and Scotland was again free to make a good impression and to win the heart of Marion. William went to Lanark to kill an English soldier as revenge for the death of Marion's brother. It was William's plan to take things slowly and build a force of well-trained men, but this was not to be. As William was exiting St. Kettering's Church one Sunday morning, a group of English soldiers tried to pick a fight with William. Wallace had no armor. He had left his habergeon a thick leather vest with chainmail at the neck and armpits, or his helmet of metal, at home, so he tried to walk away. Insults and name-calling did not affect young William, but when they called his daughter the bastard child of the priest of St. Nicholas, he lost his temper and the fight was on, boy. William and his entourage killed or wounded over 50 English soldiers before they made their escape to Marion's house in Lanark. From there, they made their way to Cartland Crags and hid out in relative safety. But that would not be the fate of poor wee Marion. Hasselrig demanded vengeance, so Marion was taken to him and he murdered her on the spot. He thought this would teach all the Scots a good lesson, and also deny William of the love of his life. As we say in Scotland, Willie went bonkers, but he waited, and he planned his revenge. The English believed the Scots had been scared off, so eventually they relaxed their security and fell into a routine. Wallace, with a small force of men, snuck in from Cartland to the unguarded town of Lanark in the still of the night. They were able to get all the way to Hasselrig's rooms, where William split his head open from the top of his skull to the middle of his chest with his massive claymore. The bloodletting went on until 240 soldiers, merchants, townsmen had been slaughtered. Only the women, children, priests and nuns were left unmolested. William became, as they say, a star overnight, and all of Scotland praised his name. Things escalated from there. More raids, more recruits came to Wallace's side. Andrew de Moray brought his Highlanders up from Inverness in the north. Moray was himself a great tactician. The Earl of Surrey's forces approached Stirling Bridge on September the 11th, 1297. Having a much larger force and the arrogance of the English, He believed the Scots would run. He made several tactical errors. Wallace was able to divide Surrey's army into two halves, one on each side of the river. Heavy cavalry was forced to cross the small Stirling Bridge. At that time, only two people walking abreast, side by side, could fit on the Stirling Bridge. Other cavalry and infantry drowned as they tried to ford the river to help their mates. Surrey died in that battle. He was skinned, and Wallace used some of the skin for the handle of his dagger. Under Wallace, the Scots united in a fight for freedom. Knighton, a chronicler of the time, wrote, "The whole followers of the nobility attached themselves to Wallace. And although the persons of their lords were with the king in England, their hearts were with Wallace, who found his army reinforced by so immense a multitude of scold that the community of the land obeyed him as their leader and prince." In October 1297, Wallace invaded northern England, capturing Northumberland and Cumberland. Upon returning to Scotland early in December 1297, he was knighted Sir William Wallace and proclaimed guardian of the kingdom. On July 22, 1298, Edward attacked the much smaller Scottish force led by Wallace at Falkirk with 90,000 men. It is estimated that the odds were between 15 and 20 to 1 that day. The day belonged to the English longbow. 10,000 Scots died heroes in the cause of freedom that day. William Wallace resigned his post as guardian to Robert the Bruce in December. August the 5th, 1305, William was betrayed by Sir John Menteith and arrested at this well near Glasgow. He was dragged to London behind two horses for trial and denied all rights and labeled a traitor, to which he answered, "How can I be a traitor when I have never pledged allegiance to an English king?" On the 23rd day of August, 1305, Sir William Wallace was dragged to the place where he would be murdered. He was hung by the neck. Then, while still alive, he was lowered, disemboweled, and while again still alive, his entrails were burnt in front of him. His head was cut off and his body cut into four pieces and sent around the kingdom as an example to the Scots. But Ochman, as history shows so often, Edward's wee plan backfired, and instead of Scotland capitulating, we had a fine martyr to follow, and Robert the Bruce led the Scots to victory and freedom at Bannockburn on June 24th, 1314. And captured over 100 English knights and lords, which he used to free his wife and family from Edward II. On August the 24th, 2005, it will be the 700th anniversary of the murder of Sir William. Many events are planned to remember that event. TV Scots has joined with the Wallace Society of Scotland and Mr. Davy Ross, who will walk the trail Wallace was dragged down to London. There will be a ceremony at Smithfield and a coffin symbolizing the spirit of Sir William Wallace will be returned to Scotland for the funeral that never took place. For more information about events, please write us at bringwallacehome@aol.com. Say Orsa, freedom.